Greetings, saints. God bless you. Thank you for joining us today for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. Father, we thank you for exhorting us to continue on towards the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Lord, your word always motivates. Any word that causes a person to sit down and relax until the coming of the Lord is a false word. We've got work to do. We've got a race to run. And it ends in a manifestation of Jesus Christ. And we thank you for it. And the sons of God. Thank you, Father. Amen. Okay, we begin speaking about the truth about born again. I'd like to continue that. I spoke to you last time about the sons of God, but just barely touched on it. I'd like to go a little deeper into what it is to be born again. There are many parallels in the Bible to being born again. A lot of people don't know that they're parallels. And sanctification is the same thing, is coming into the manifestation of the Son of God. We were here to come into his image. He told us in 2 Corinthians 3 and verse 18, but we all with an unveiled face, behold as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord are transformed into that same image from glory to glory, even as from the Lord the Spirit. From glory to glory, we come into the image of Jesus Christ. Look in the Bible. See what Jesus looks like. That's what he wants. And anybody that sells you short on that and does not motivate you to bear the fruit of Jesus Christ 30, 60, and 100-fold, that person is doing you a great disservice. You will miss the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I'm going to start in 2 Peter 1 and 19. And we have... Notice it says we, because he's addressing the Christians. As somebody that's already had a born-again spirit, okay? And we have the word of prophecy made more sure. Now, you know about prophecy. Paul said we prophesy in part because prophecy can grow with the measure of your faith, according to the word. And you may prophesy in part more. Then you end up prophesying as you grow and mature. You become more and more prophesying in the Lord. Okay? But we have a more sure word of prophecy, and it's the Scripture. The Scripture is all a prophecy. Even the education of it is a prophecy of the end times and a prophecy of God's people coming into his image. So we have the word of prophecy, and it is the word of God, made more sure. Whereunto you do well that you take heed. Take heed to God's word. As unto a lamp shining in a dark place. Now let me address that before I go on. What is the lamp? Well, the word of God is the light, we know. Proverbs 20 and 27 says, the spirit of man is the lamp of the Lord, searching all his innermost parts. The spirit of man is the lamp of the Lord, searching all his innermost parts. So what is this dark place? It is just that, the soul, the mind, the will, and the emotions that needs to be converted the same way your spirit was. And of course, as we follow our spirit, following the Holy Spirit, we come into this conversion, this 30, 60, 100-fold, this glory to glory, star glory, moon glory, sun glory, that Paul said is a body that he gives to those who are then heavenly, having a born-again body, which is heavenly, okay? A lamp shining in a dark place. That is the dark place of your soul. Because we all know about the darkness in the mind, the will, and the emotions, and we deal with it. But we're motivated more highly to do that because we're coming into his image, and it is the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, right? As a lamp shining in a dark place, that word going forth into our soul, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Well, when you talk about dawning, we're talking about the sun. The day star, our star, that shines during the day to us, is talking about the sun. And it's a parable because it speaks of the sun, Jesus Christ. He is the light. He is the word that shines into our soul, that dispels all of the darkness. Amen? The day star, arise in your hearts. Oh, glory be to God. You know, when the sun, when the perfect day is, you know, is when the sun is straight up, right? And we're told in Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 18, it says, take fast hold of instruction. No, that's 13, excuse me. Take fast hold of instruction, let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life. Now, I'm going to read 17 and 18. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. Now, we know the bread and the wine of Jesus Christ is not this, but there is a fake body and blood of Jesus Christ, right, out there. And they proclaim that that's what they're feeding you, but you know that unless we eat his body, which is the bread, and drink his blood, we have no life in us, okay? Verse 18, but the path of the righteous, the path of the righteous, there is a path. You can't stand still. There is a path. The path of the righteous is as the dawning light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. The perfect day is when the sun is straight up and there's no shadows, right? The darkness has been dispelled. The shadows are gone. That's maturity. There's all, you are all light. Your soul is filled with the light of God. Everywhere light goes, by the way, it destroys darkness. If you will not put the light in your heart, in your soul, it will not dispel the darkness. So that's what we're called to, friends, and that's what this verse is talking about. He's showing you that this is very clearly a process, right, of coming into the image of Jesus Christ, of being born again, body, soul, and spirit, right? So, and that's the other way around, but this is the truth. Your whole being has to be born from above. And if you are born again in soul, here it is coming into the image of Jesus Christ, even when he was in his physical body, which we've already talked about. It is in your physical body that the manifestation of Christ is coming, in your spirit and soul, not in body. Body is the reward for those who have been sanctified in soul. And to whatever state that is, 30, 60, or 100-fold, that depends upon the body that you get, right? Like Paul spoke about the three heavenly bodies that the saints will have, star glory, moon glory, and sun glory. Okay, there's a greater reward. Obviously, that body is has more power. It has more gifts. It has more ability, and so on and so forth. More holiness and righteousness, right? So that's just the beginning. And this, as you can see here, that is also the process that we call sanctification, right? Sanctification. It is the changing of you from fleshly to spiritual. 1 Thessalonians 5 and 22 says, abstain from every form of evil. Why? Because verse 23 says, and the God of peace himself sanctify you wholly. In your abstaining from these things, in your putting to death the flesh, in your fulfilling your baptism of death to the old man and resurrection of the new man, is the word of God, which is the washing of the water with the word. It's the water that puts to death your old man, just like the light puts to death the darkness. Okay? abstain from every form of evil, and the God of peace himself sanctify you wholly or completely. Completely. Can you imagine that God is able to do this? It's his plan. Is it yours? If he took away your sins, how many of them did he not take away? And if he gave you his life, how much of his life did he give you? The truth is, he already gave you his life. He already nailed your sins on that cross. And are you going to accept the fullness of this, or are you going to run after the world? That's the question. To some, the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus is a prize. It's a prize worth running after, like that Shulamite in the Song of Solomon, right? Oh, glory be to God. And the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your spirit and soul and body be preserved entire. Now, why does he say that? Preserved entire. Preserved is something that doesn't happen to a person that falls into degeneration. Are there people that fall away after coming to the... Well, of course. Twice dead and plucked up to the roots, by the roots. You can't have a twice death if you don't have a twice born. They're born again and they die again. And so that process is totally conquered when your soul is changed. Now, you know your soul is changed in some things, and they don't tempt you anymore. They don't test you anymore. You've overcome there. The blood has washed you there. The word of God has dispelled the darkness there. What about this other spot and that one over there? You know, what about these? You're not ever to sit down and not run the race. We have to work on this every day. The Bible says work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Salvation is a process. It is not an instantaneous stepping over of a line. That's a lie that the dead churches preach. Okay? And they're dead because they believe that. And they believe that that's all they're ever going to get. They're dead because of that. But this will motivate you. This word of God will motivate you to run after Jesus. And the body be preserved entire. Wouldn't you like to be preserved and none of you decayed? Not like the garment spotted by the flesh, because your works are the works of evil. Okay? Without blame at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, we found out that we'll be ashamed before him if he hasn't shone forth from us. Amen. Okay, that's the light coming forth out of us. You put it in you, it'll come out. Faithful is he that calleth you, who will also do it. Who will also do it. So, once again, he's talking to Christians here. There's something for Christians to do. They're not just sitting on a pew, waiting for the Lord to come and fly away. Well, obviously, if he came right now, a lot of people wouldn't go because they're not sanctified and they're not even walking by faith and they don't even know what faith is. So you need to get into God's word and have your mind renewed by the word of God. It is awesome. It is awesome. And it puts hope in you and motivates you, etc. So I'm going to read a little bit of Romans chapter 8. I think I'll read 12. So then, brethren, talking to God's people here, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. Well, a lot of God's people are living after the flesh. Anything that motivates their flesh, they run after it. And so they're so distracted that they can't hear the voice of the Spirit. And that's a terrible mistake, because as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. So keep following after the flesh. You won't make it. Because he says, and he says it to the brethren, for if you live after the flesh, you must die. Go ahead and follow your lower nature, and you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you shall live. If by, notice, it's not your power, it's God's power. If by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you shall live. You buffet your body and you bring it into bondage just like Paul said, don't let it rule you. Don't let it tell you what you're going to do in the next moment. It'll probably tell you to go feed your flesh. You know, that's what it does. Feed your flesh. What's fasting, by the way? Denying your flesh to be fed. Now, that's not only physical food, it's spiritual food. Denying to give your flesh what it wants. You buffet it. You say, no, I'm ruling over you. You're not ruling over me. I want to be free in the next moment to follow the Holy Spirit. Verse 14 says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Wow. Listen now. Listen. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. So it's a process of learning how to be led by the Spirit of God, not be distracted by the old flesh, etc. Right? Verse 15, for you received not the spirit of bondage again unto fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Yes, you can call him Father. He said we would call him my Father, right? This is the relationship. No, not all them Old Testament names where they were under the law. He's got something better, a good relationship, a father-child relationship, and a father-son relationship. Those are two different things, but we've looked at that, and we'll look at it a little bit more today. But anyway, you receive the spirit of adoption. What is it to do? It is to bring us to the Lord, bring us to the adoption. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that is suffer what? The death of the flesh. Denying of your flesh. If we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified with him. What is a glorification? 2 Corinthians 3:18. We behold Christ in the mirror because that's the gift that's been given unto us. That's who we are now. The old man died in those waters of baptism, and the one that came up was the Son of God. And we're glorified with him. If so be that we're glorified with him, right? Okay, now, if you're glorified with him, that's that 30, 60, and 100-fold. It's also the star, moon, and sun glory that we finally ultimately arrive at if we're running down this path. It is sonship. It is sanctification. It's all these things. Oh, glory to God. He said, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed to usward. For the earnest, notice the revealing, of course, is also manifestation. Manifestation, that shining forth from us, you know. For the earnest expectation of the creation waiteth for the revealing of the sons of God. Now, what is the natural creation? It is this life that you have, that you live in, that your spirit man is growing in. The earnest expectation of this creation is waiting for the revealing or the manifesting of the sons of God, the shining forth from the sons of God. For the creation was subject to vanity, not of its own will, but by reason of him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the liberty of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only so, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit. That is when you receive the Holy Spirit and your spirit, right? The first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves, groan within ourselves, waiting for our adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. Notice that the full adoption is its spirit, and then its soul, and then its body. The body, of course, is the reward for manifesting Christ in your soul. For we hope, for in hope were we saved, hope. Hope is a firm expectation of something that you don't see yet. You know what saved is? Saved is Jesus Christ. That's saved. You look at him in the mirror, that's the one that's saved. What you're saying is, I'm saved. And you're saying it by faith. Faith called the things that be not as though they were. You're saying, I'm saved. You're believing for the whole thing up front. Jesus said, all things whatsoever you pray and ask for, believe you received them, and you shall have them. For who hopeth for that which he seeth? But if we hope for that which we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. We're waiting for this adoption. We're waiting for the adoption of our soul. We're waiting for the manifestation of our soul. The whole creation is waiting for this to happen. Because it's going to deliver from bondage the groaning creation. Not only us, but those around us. And the physical creation around that. That's what the manifestation of the sons of God is all about. Okay? Okay, I want to go now to Galatians chapter 3 and chapter 4. And let's see what the difference is between a child and a son. And you know, we are children of God, and it's not yet manifest what we shall be, but we know that we will be like him, which is, of course, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. That's the manifestation of sonship, okay? But let's start in Galatians 3 and 26. For we are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. All of us are sons? Well, of course, because that's what faith is. Through faith in Christ Jesus. We have faith that he took away our sins and he gave us his life. He made an exchange, which is the word that comes from the word katalasso, and is an exchange between Christ and us. You know, he gave us his life. He took away our life and he nailed it to that cross. And so, when we have faith in him, he empowers us by his Spirit to put to death the old man of the land. Right? The old man that they had to conquer before they took the promised land. And we, as we've talked about in the past, we are that land. The Canaanites, that's the old man of the flesh. They're gods. That's their gods, you know, their lords, the demons that rule over them, okay? For as many of you as were baptized into Christ did put on Christ. See, so when you got baptized, you are to believe from then on that you now are walking in the body of Christ. And there is no sin in him, by the way, so you know that there are parts of you manifestly that have not come into Christ. Okay, but the process is to bring you all into Christ. All in all, he called it. Okay, 28. There can be neither Jew nor Greek. There can be neither bond nor free. There can be no male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. One in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ, then are you Abraham's seed, heirs according to the promise. Heirs of the promise. He didn't say you had inherited it yet. He said you are heirs of the promise. Now we it's been given. It's a matter of us taking it, you know. The word for son, like in verse 26, is huios. The word for child is technon, okay. The most common, okay? They shouldn't be interchanged because in every text, it means exactly what it says. Now, the King James is very bad about this. It flip-flops them back and forth, but even the received text shows you which word is which. So you should translate it the same way, and that's not being done there. So there's something being hidden there because of that, okay? The huios emphasizes a special relationship to God, whereas the technon only emphasizes a birth. Okay. And there are children that don't call. I just read a testimony of a person who was totally abused by their mom and dad, and they never called them mom and dad because they were always an enemy and hated them and abused them and so on and so forth. And there's you might have been born from somebody, but if you don't follow in their steps, you're not going to be have that special relationship, right? Okay. And we don't want to follow in the steps of our natural parents. As good as they may have been, they're not as good as God. And of course, everyone, when they're perfected, they shall be as their master. That's what Jesus said. So we want to make our master Jesus. We can no longer follow our natural earthly parents or any other man. We have to make Jesus our goal, our prize of the high calling, right? So you're Abraham's seed. Now, Abraham had a lot of seed, but he had two in particular that's a parable for us. That's Ishmael and Isaac. Okay? So you can say, hey, I'm Abraham's seed. Yeah, you might be, but that doesn't mean you're going to inherit the kingdom. Okay, now let me explain that to you. 4:1. But I say that so long as the heir is a child, he differs nothing from a bondservant, though he is Lord of all. Why does it say that? How can he be a bondservant but yet be the Lord of all? Well, because there's a difference between manifestation and faith. By faith, we've been given it all. We're joint heirs with Christ by faith. And by faith, we're in the body of Christ. But we know there's no sin in the body of Christ, it says. So there's part of us that we have to accept by faith that they are saved and delivered. That part is saved and delivered. So long as the heir is a child, he differs nothing from a bondservant, though he's Lord of all. So notice that the child is a servant, is a bondservant. And we have the Lord is following a parable, I would say. Proverbs 29 and 21 says, he that delicately bringeth up his servant from a child shall have him become a son at the last. Think about it. He that delicately bringeth up his servant from a child shall have him become a son at the last. Don't know how many of you have watched the story of Ben-Hur. Ben-Hur was a servant. He was a slave. And he was adopted by, I believe, a centurion, at least a Roman high official, maybe. Don't remember that part. But he was adopted to be a son. And the Romans had that habit, and Jesus spoke about it because they, at the time, they were living under the Roman Empire, right? And so when he speaks about, delicately bringing up your servant as a child, from a child, shall have him become a son at the last. Notice, it's the last. It's the manifestation of sonship. It's why you've been sown in the earth in the first place, right? It's to become a son of God. He was the firstborn among many brethren. And bringing many sons to glory is his plan, right? So, but I say, so long as the heir is a child, he differs nothing from a bondservant, although he is Lord of all. But he's under guardians and stewards until the day appointed of the Father. And it's true, lots of God's peoples are in playpens, and that they need to grow up, climb out the bars, and get out. And like Jesus said when he went into the sheepfold, he freed them so that they could go in and go out and find pasture, right? And that's the truth. We're free. We're not any, we don't belong to any denomination. If you do, you're wrong. All the denominations in Jesus' day were wrong. All of them were wrong. He didn't choose a one of them. They were all reprobate. There were people that were coming out of them, which he called the church, the called out ones. Now, it's the same today. There are the people that are coming out. If you're going to grow up, you can't stay in the playpen. It's that simple. You can't stay on the milk either. But milk is more than what some people get in the playpen. And stewards until the day appointed of the Father. So we also, when we were children, were held in bondage under the rudiments of the world. Rudiments is stoichion, which means first principles. Actually, it's first principles in a series of principles. And so we're talking about the principles of the world. The church is full of the principles of the world. They're not growing into sonship because they don't think it's an opportunity. And so they copy the world in everything. We're supposed to copy the Lord in everything. You know, we're supposed to emulate the Lord in everything. But the church is full of the rudiments of the world and their children and their servants. And you have to come out from among them and be separate. In order to grow to sonship. So, anyway, but when the fullness of time came, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, that he might redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. So we've already seen what the adoption of sons is. It's the manifestation of Christ in your soul. It's the word in your mind, your will, and your emotions. That we might receive the adoption of sons and redeem us from the law. Now, let me talk to you about law for just a moment, okay? Law can be the Old Testament law. Sometimes it says the law. Sometimes the was added in there. You can go back and look in the Numeric English New Testament and find that out, because law is more than just the law. I want to tell you this. If you're under the rules and regulations of a religion or under the rule of a man who's under the rules and regulations of a religion, then you're not free to walk after the Spirit. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. They're there to keep you in bondage to their religion. They don't make any money otherwise. They're there to keep you in bondage. And they make rules and regulations to keep you from growing up in God. And they tell you how far you can go in your knowledge of the word. And they tell you when you can't believe that anymore because it all passed away. Because if you find out it's not passed away, then you're going to leave them immediately. Okay, so they lie to you to keep you in bondage. Okay, so we want to grow to the adoption of sons. You have to be free from laws that you put on yourself. Laws that men put upon you, law of the Old Testament, which passed away, the Bible says very plainly, okay, and this chapter does too, and the next chapter. We have to be broken from rules and regulations that tell us what we're going to do tomorrow. Jesus said the person who's born again is like the wind. You don't know where it's coming from, you don't know where it's going to. So is everyone born of a spirit, he said. If you're going to be completely born of the Spirit, you have to be completely ruled by the Spirit. And the Spirit will tell you in the next moment. That's why he says, be careful to say, if the Lord wills, we'll do this or we'll do that. Because if you're born again, you don't know what you're going to do tomorrow. You're going to follow the Spirit tomorrow, right? Amen. So don't make rules for yourself and don't pledge yourself into any bondage in the future. Say, if the Lord wills, we'll do this, we'll do that, right? And as you know, God can change that all the time. You might say you're going to do something and end up being a liar because the weather's bad. Well, who controls the weather, right? Or this or that, you know. The Lord's in control of everything. He's the only one that can say what you're going to do tomorrow. So don't put yourself under laws because you're not going to obey the Spirit. You're not going to listen to the Spirit when he wants to tell you to go in a different direction. Nope, I made up my mind. I'm doing this. You know, you're ruled by the flesh. You're under the law. Come out from among them and be separate. And notice what he says. And because you are sons, Okay, now remember what he just got through saying in 3 and 26. For ye are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. We accept our sonship even before it's manifested. Everything that you want, you have to believe it first. Jesus said, all things whatsoever you pray and ask for, believe you received them. So we believe we received sonship, right? Right. And you shall have them. So that's the manifestation. You shall have them. That's the manifestation. That's the shining forth. If you continue to believe that you don't live anymore and Christ lives in you, Paul's good confession in the sight of many witnesses, if you continue to believe that, the Lord's going to empower you to bring it to pass. But you have to constantly war against the old lying devil. He's going to tell you, he's going to tempt you just like he tempted Jesus. Well, if you are the Son of God, what about this? Do this, do that. No, you don't have to prove nothing to him, and Jesus didn't worry about it either. And he's always going to tempt you to believe that you are not who the Bible says you are. Okay, but when we look in the mirror, we know that's who we are. And so when we accept that, we're beginning to walk in his steps. His grace, his power, his holiness, his gifts, they're all ours. That's why we look in the mirror and we see him and not us. And if you do look in the mirror and see yourself, it's because you're just a hearer of the word, not a doer of the word. That's what James said. Remember that, okay? And because you are sons, God sent forth the Spirit of his Son into our heart, crying, Abba, Father. And what is that? The Spirit that brings us to adoption. So, since you're believing that, you receive this Spirit that brings you to the adoption, the Holy Spirit of God. So that thou art no longer a bondservant, but a son. Praise God. You're all sons through faith in Jesus Christ. Thou art no longer a bondservant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir. Notice, if a son, then an heir through God. We're joint heirs with Christ. Who are joint heirs? The sons are the joint heirs. Okay. Now, you can be a son by faith until you're a son by manifestation. That's when the baby's born. That's when the fruit of Christ in you is seen by the world, right? If a son, then an heir through God. Howbeit, at that time, not knowing God, you were in bondage to them that by nature are no gods. Well, that's true. Many people are. But now that you have come to know God, or rather to be known by God, how turn you back to the weak and beggarly rudiments whereunto you desire to be in bondage all over again? You observe days. This is rules and regulations he's talking about here. You're forming yourself into a mold so that you have to do what the world does. You observe days and months and seasons and years. I'm afraid of you, lest by any means I have bestowed labor upon you in vain. He said, in other words, his job is to bring us to sonship, to manifest Christ in us, not to put us under a bunch of rules and regulations. We'll fulfill every jot and tittle of the law if we walk after the Spirit. We will fulfill it. And when you see the word, it's not to make a law to put over your head. It is to show you what sonship is. It is to show you what you've been given by God, right? You are free. Don't go back to the weak and beggarly rudiments of religion. You're free. I'm afraid of you, lest by any means I have bestowed labor upon you in vain. In other words, I've wasted my time. Okay? Look, verse 19. My little children, of whom I am again in travail, until Christ, who is what? Son. So you can say, I am again in travail until sonship be formed in you. Sonship. Jesus Christ, he is the Son. My little children. Why? Because now they're all under these rules and regulations of the world. Which, by the way, were only for the meantime until the seed should come to whom the promise was due. Now the seed has come, Jesus Christ, and the only way we can have it is to abide in him. You understand? No, the law is not here anymore. It was only put in there until the seed should come to whom the promise was due. And he's our Isaac, Jesus Christ, right? So he calls them little children. Why? Because they've lost their sonship. By their rules and their regulations and following men, they've lost their sonship. But I would wish to be present with you now and to change my tone, for I am perplexed about you. Tell me, ye that desire to be under the law, do you not hear the law? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, one by the handmaid and one by the free woman. Howbeit the son by the handmaid is by the way, son was not in there, is born after the flesh, but by the free woman is born through promise. So you're believing the promise. And you're not keeping a bunch of rules and regulations in order to be holy enough to be acceptable. You understand? And when God is living in you and empowering you, when you read the word, you love to do that. You're looking for more you can do to please him. You know, that's what he puts in you. He works in us to will and to do of his good pleasure. That's what salvation is all about. And it's a process, too. It's instant by, and we have a book, by the way, like that, Salvation, Instant and Progressive. It'll open your eyes. Because some people, they only see the instant part, and they don't know that it's only by faith that they have salvation. And if they don't bear fruit, they will not manifest salvation. So it's important to be in the process, walking by faith in the process. You know, you're sons of God through faith. As long as you walk in faith, you're a son of God. If you walk after the works of the world and the religion and so and the Old Testament, then you're separated from this gift. That's why he said, little children, I am again in travail with you till Christ, that is the Son, be formed in you. So there's two sons here. By the free woman, which is through promise, and by the handmaid who is in bondage. Which things contain an allegory, a parable, right? For these women are two covenants, one from Mount Sinai, that's the law, right? Bearing children unto bondage. Yep, and a lot of Christians are there. They've been Judaized. They're there. Which is Hagar. Notice what he's calling the law now. What is it now? If you're under the law now, doesn't matter if it's the law of men, the law of religion, the law of rules you've put for yourself, the law of following your mind, doesn't make any difference. It's the same thing. You're just a child of Hagar. You're an Ishmaelite. Mount Sinai, bearing children unto bondage, which is Hagar. Now this Hagar, is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and answereth to the Jerusalem that now is. Talking about what? The physical Jerusalem. Oh, so sad, folks. That's not the holy city. Well, it's not. It isn't since Jesus was crucified. It's never been called the holy city since Jesus was crucified, except by men. In the Bible, there's a heavenly holy city that's being born from above. That's our mother. Not that Jerusalem over there. It's just, in fact, it's just full of all kinds of pagans, even those that are Jews, even those that are under the law of Jews. They're still not born again. It doesn't make any difference. You must be born from above. So, but the Jerusalem that is above is free, which is our mother. So notice, the people that are under the law that came from Mount Sinai, they think that they're under the Jerusalem that now is. They don't know. They have to be born again from above to be that heavenly Jerusalem the daughter of Jerusalem is called sometimes, right? Wow. For it is written, rejoice thou, barren that bearest not. Break forth and cry, thou that travailest not, for more are the children of the desolate than of her that hath the husband. Well, yeah. Hagar, she's got many children. Anybody that's under law, they're born of the handmaid. Any kind of law, any separation from Christ, and he's fixing to tell you what is separation from Christ. It is to be under any law. You're separated from Christ, okay? For more are the children of the desolate than of her that hath the husband. Well, in the natural, look at the parable over there. There's little Israel right in the middle of a bunch of Hagar, right? Sarah and Abraham's seed right there in the middle of a whole bunch of them. Oh, did they make a mistake, okay? Unless those Muslim Arab people are born again. If they're born again, they're just as good as anybody else that is in the kingdom of God, right? So, now we brethren, as Isaac was, not Ishmael, but Isaac was, are children of promise. He had the promise of the coming seed. So, what did he do? He went to work on Hagar to bring forth something other than the promised seed. It was the product of his works, right? Sowing his own seed, right? But, as then he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the spirit, notice, the Ishmaels persecuted the Isaacs, so also it is what? Now. So they're both Abraham's seed, but one of them is a persecutor, and the other one is not. Guess what? Guess who that is? Now, they may not end up that way. They might repent and become children of promise. But when they're persecutors, guess what? They're Ishmaels, all of them. Because you got to compare just what he's saying here. It's the same thing he's doing. He's comparing this to Christians. He's telling the Christians who are Ishmaelites and who are Isaacs. Howbeit, what saith the scripture? Cast out the handmaid and her son. For the son of the handmaid shall not inherit with the son of the free woman. Oh my. Please think about this now. The Christians who are under law will not inherit with those who are following the Spirit of God. They will not inherit. Listen to what it says. For the son of the handmaid shall not inherit with the son of the free woman. Oh my. Wherefore, brethren, we are not children of the handmaid, but of the free woman. Okay, and you must be convinced of that enough that you give it up, right? For freedom did Christ set us free. Stand fast, therefore, and be not entangled again in a yoke of bondage. Exactly what a lot of Christians do. And even when you're first born again, you decide to go look, check out the religions. Let's go see what bondage looks like. And you know what? They did it in the scripture too. The things that have been are the things that shall be. Right? Jesus called them out of those Judaistic denominations. And he's calling them out of the Christian denominations now. You're not to be bound to men. You have the word of God. And yes, he does have apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, and evangelists that are anointed people. But you'll have to find out what they look like by studying the word so you can recognize them, right? Because other than that, you're going right back into bondage. People do that. They come out of one denomination, go into another one. Right? Be not entangled again in a yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if you receive circumcision, Christ will profit you nothing. Now he's talking about if you go seek to be justified by obeying some laws, even church laws, but rules, regulations, your own, of what you think must happen, you know, anything that keeps you from following the Spirit of God, which The scripture tells you the very nature of the Spirit of God. It's the Spirit of God. You know, you have to study the scriptures. Forget about everything else. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, right? We're running out of time. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if you receive circumcision, Christ will profit you nothing. Yet I testify again to every man that receiveth circumcision that he is a debtor to do the whole law. So, okay, so if you seek to be justified by the Sabbath day, what about the Sabbath year? Are you going to do that? Oh, you're not? Well, then forget it. That's what he's saying. You got to do the whole law. You're going to try to do part of the law? The Sabbath in the New Testament is ceasing from your works continuously, not someday. He is a debtor to do the whole law. You are severed from Christ, ye who would be justified by the law. You are fallen away from grace. Oh my. Oh my. You know, we have to repent. We have to turn to the Lord. So, before we move on, I just want to point out a couple of things. Well, back in Galatians 4 and 1, I say that so long as the heir is a child, he differs nothing from a bondservant. A child is a bondservant, though he is Lord of all. Okay? And also in chapter 4 and verse 30, howbeit, what saith the scripture? Cast out the handmaid and her son. For the son of the handmaid shall not inherit with the son of the free woman. Wherefore, brethren, we are not children of the handmaid, but of the free woman. Okay, so the children that are servants, bondservants, who are under the law, will not inherit with those who are sons who are under the Spirit, walking in the Spirit. And if you look at, for instance, John chapter 8, 34, I'm going to show you this. Well, I'm going to back up a little bit. I'm going to go back to 31. John 8 and 31. Jesus therefore said to those Jews that had believed him. Now notice this. Notice this. They believed him. Okay, now lots of people think that's all you need to do, right? Those Jews that had believed him, he said to them, if you abide in my word, then are you truly my disciples. A mathetes, a learner and a follower, right? If you abide in my word. So it's not enough just to believe him. The devil believes him, and he's afraid of him. He's not born again. But you abide in my word, then are you truly my disciples. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So it is the truth that makes you free. And, of course, free is what a son is. A servant is not free. They serve because they serve for different reasons than sons do. Sons serve their father for love and because it's their kingdom, their joint heirs. Bondservants don't serve for that reason. They serve because they have to. They don't have a choice. And the son is free to come and go as he pleases, you know, but the servant, nope, he's got to stay right there and serve, you know. And I don't mean as you please in the flesh. I'm talking about as you please in the spirit, right? But the son is free. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And they answered and said unto him, we are Abraham's seed, and have never yet been in bondage to any man. Oh, how wrong they were, for goodness sake. You know, that's how blind people can be, right? How sayest thou, you shall be made free? And Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, every one that committeth sin is the bondservant of sin. Every one that committeth sin is the bondservant. Notice he uses the same thing, bondservant. The children who are servants, they're still under sin. So you don't have to be a child under sin. You can, by faith, accept your sonship and then keep walking as a son, In other words, continue to walk by faith as you put to death the old man, right? And the God will empower you to walk out of servanthood and into sonship. Everyone that committeth sin is the bondservant of sin. And the bondservant abideth not in the house forever. Oh my goodness. There's the same thing. We just read it over there, right? Abideth not in the house forever. The Son abideth forever. The Son abideth forever. Okay? And if therefore the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. The Son. Oh, glory be to God. So, we want to be free. We want to be following the Spirit of God because these are the sons of God. Now, let me point out just a few things to you here. Can we prove that the servant doesn't abide in the house forever? The Son abides forever. Okay? Because if you're keeping, for instance, a law, it is not the law of the New Testament. And you can't treat the New Testament like a law, but if you're treating it like a law, you're also missing it, right? If you're, for instance, under the Old Testament law or the law of men in denominationalism, you've made this man your Lord and you're following him instead of following the Spirit. Well, of course, you're never going to go beyond him. His servant you are whom you obey. And every man, when he's perfected, shall be as his master. So you have to make Jesus your master, right? Okay, so if this is true, that the servant or the child abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth forever, then we can see it in the Old Testament, right? Because every jot and tittle over there is going to be fulfilled in a more spiritual way. So if we look at Ezekiel 46 and 16, what do we see? Thus saith the Lord. If the prince, who's the prince? Well, the prince in most cases represented the high priest. Who's our high priest? Jesus. Right? If the prince give a gift unto any of his sons, it is his inheritance. It's their inheritance. The sons are the ones that will inherit everything of the father, not the servants. It is his inheritance. It shall belong to his sons. It is their possession by inheritance. The sons have the inheritance, not the children, not the servants. But if he give of his inheritance a gift to one of his servants, it shall be his to the year of liberty. Oh, yes, there is a great year of liberty coming in which all of the everyone will receive their new body and have the freedom that we've wanted from the beginning, right? Delivered from bondage. It shall be his to the servants. It'll be his to the year of liberty. Then it shall return to the prince. Does this have any parallel in Scripture? Yes, it does. I'm going to prove it to you, okay? Then it shall return to the prince. But as for his inheritance, it shall be for his sons. In other words, he's going to take this temporary gift out of the hands of the child or the servant and give it to the sons. Can you imagine? And I will come back to that in just a second. Moreover, the prince shall not take of the people's inheritance to thrust them out of their possession. He shall give inheritance to his sons out of his own possession. In other words, the sons are joint heirs with the high priest. Joint heirs. Are the children the joint heirs? Well, only if they walk by faith, and then they're not children, they're sons, because you believe you have received, right? Okay, so it's line upon line here, little and there, little, right? He shall give of his inheritance to his sons out of his own possession, that my people be not scattered every man from his possession. Isn't that cool? Okay, so can we find where God takes it away from the servants and gives it to the sons? Takes it away from the children and gives it to the sons. Yeah, Matthew 25. I want to read 28 first of all. Take ye away therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him that hath the 10 talents. There it is. Taking it away. This is when the Lord left on his journey and he left talents, five, two, and one to his servants, and went on his way, and vowing to come back and settle up with them to see if they had borne fruit of the five, the two, and the one. Okay? And so he did. He found that the five brought forth five more, and he called them good servants, right? Faithful servants. And told them to enter into the joy of the Lord, right? He gave them a reward, okay? And I believe that the 10 talents is that hundredfold fruit, okay? And he also had given 2 talents to another, and they brought forth 2 more talents, which is really all you can expect them to do, right? Because they brought forth the fruit of what was put in. In the 10 talents, it was the same way. They were given 5, they made 5 more. They brought forth the fruit of what was put in. You'll notice that everybody's not given the same amount. And but I believe that the hundredfold is the 10 talents, okay? Then there is the 2 that brought forth 2 more, and you said basically the same thing. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord, right? And he that received that 1 talent went and hid his in the earth. Now that's what everybody does when they accept Jesus and they don't follow him. They do their own thing. They don't buffet their flesh. They don't conquer their promised land. They don't continue in sanctification of the word. They don't need to read the word. Their preacher knows everything. He's gone to school. He gone to Bible school, got a certificate. So they just listen to the preacher on Sunday and then go on and do their own thing. That's hiding your talent in the earth. You're given a talent that God's given unto you, and you're burying it under your flesh, which is what came from the earth, right? So he said in verse 28, take ye away therefore the talent from him, and he gave it unto him that hath the 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given. In other words, if a person has fruit, he'll be given more. Notice, he took it away from the unprofitable servant and he gave it to the son. And by the way, you might keep it until the year of liberty. And I believe that's, of course, when the saints are caught up to be with the Lord or resurrected to be with the Lord. And that's when you're going to find out. For unto every one that hath shall be given, he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not, that is, if he has not fruit, right, even that which he hath shall be taken away. So he don't have fruit, so we're going to take away what we did give him, right? And give it to him that has 10. And cast ye out the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. It's the unprofitable servant. Notice, these are bondservants of the Lord. These are servants of the Lord. These are what we call Christians. Verse 14, for it is when a man going into another country calleth his own servants and delivereth unto them his goods. Notice, his own servants. Now, this can be nobody but Christians. It's not the world. But many are called, but few are chosen. Cast ye out the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And you know, they complain, but he's got 10, Lord. Yeah, right. That's right. And he's going to have more. That's what Jesus said. The sons are going to have more. Okay? Now, we see it once again in Matthew 22, 8 through 14. Let's read that. Then saith he to his servants, the wedding is ready, but they that were bidden were not worthy. Now, what is the wedding? The wedding feast or marriage feast is for 7 days, and it represents the 70th week of Daniel, which is 7 days. But we know that the 70th week of Daniel is 7 years. Okay, 7 days that are years. So this is coming in the tribulation period. And he saith unto them, the wedding is ready, but they that were bidden were not worthy. Go ye therefore into the partings of the highways. Notice he's going to turn away from some people when the tribulation starts. Remember that when the disciples complained, but Lord, you're speaking to them in parables. They don't understand you. He says, to you it's been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom, but to them it is not given. He had already cut them off. And when the man-child ministry starts, he's going to already have cut some people off. Already. Because here it is. The wedding is ready. You're getting ready to start the marriage feast. But they that were bidden, now that's, okay, that's called. The word bidden is the word called. Many are called, but few are chosen. So you can be in the larger called group and still not be chosen. And that's what he's saying here. To them that were bidden were not worthy. Go ye therefore in the partings of the highways, and as many as you shall find, bid to the marriage feast. And those servants went out into the highways and gathered together as many as they found, both bad and good. Now that would have been bad and good to a Jew. That would have been bad. That would have been a Gentile, an unbeliever. But when you gather them in, they're no longer unbelievers, right? And good, that is people that were maybe right under the Old Testament or right under Christianity, and good to the best of their ability and knowledge, you know. And he gathered both of them. And the wedding was filled with guests. But when the king came in to behold the guests, he saw there a man that had not on a wedding garment. Well, Revelation 19 tells us about the bride's garment, the lampros garment, and it says it's the righteous acts of the saints. You can't have the bride's garment if you don't have righteous acts. Okay? If you walk by faith, you will have no problem having righteous acts because the power of God will be with you. If you don't walk by faith, but you're satisfied just to be religious, and you're not stretching forth your faith to the prize of the high calling of God, and you're just walking in the flesh, you're not going to understand what's yours. And you're going to lose it. And he said unto him, friend, how camest thou in hither, not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. So, now wait a minute. Some people say this is in heaven. But no, it's not in heaven. How did this guy get to heaven without a wedding garment? And how could he be cast out of heaven? He never made it there. Because this is not heaven. This is the wedding feast on the earth, when the groom and the bride walk together and the virgins escort them after the 7 days to the groom's home, which is in heaven. Okay? How is the bridegroom here? The bridegroom is coming in the man-child, just as he did the first time. A son of David then, sons of David now. He is fellowshipping with the bride. Okay? For 7 days. And at the end, the virgins, their job is to escort. They're not the bride, by the way, never were. Their job is to escort the bride and the groom to the groom's home. Yes, they get to go to heaven. But the virgins and the queens and the concubines, they may all go to heaven. They may. I didn't say they will. And he was speechless. Because he thought, what happened to once saved, always saved? or ultimate reconciliation, you know? Then the king said unto the servants, bind him hand and foot and cast him into the outer darkness. Oh, that's the same thing happened to the guy that had the one talent and buried it in the earth. There shall be the weeping and the gnashing of teeth, for many are the called, but few are the chosen. So the word called is the word bidden or invited. We are bidden. We are invited to partake of the marriage feast, which is the body and blood of Christ. Remember when Jesus went to the marriage feast and he turned the water into wine? Well, you do the same thing with the Word of God in the six vessels, which represents the flesh, turns it into wine, which is the blood of Jesus Christ. What's the blood? The life of the flesh is in the blood. Jesus Christ's life represents his blood. He passes it on to us. Your mom and dad passed on their life to you. It was their blood and it was full of sin. Okay? But Jesus isn't doing that. So we have to partake of the water, which is the Word of God, which he turns into the blood of Jesus. And that was the marriage feast on the earth. So now we got a marriage feast coming at the beginning of the tribulation period where there's going to be a feast on the body and blood of Christ. And if you don't eat my body and drink my blood, you have no life in you, Jesus warned them. And by the way, what happened in John 6:6-6? That's right. A whole bunch of them departed. This is a hard saying. Who can do this? They departed. 666. Among the Christians? Yep. Yep. Among those that believed him. Remember, we read that. Okay. It's only if you follow in his word that you're his disciples, right? For many are called, but few are chosen. So now we see, once again, that there are people that are not going to bear fruit, that they're going to be cast out. And, you know, as we've noticed too, others are going to come and take their place. Is it happening? Yeah, I suspect it is, but we haven't come to the beginning of the marriage feast yet, but yes, I believe I can see it. Ain't God good? Give us so many blessings. Undeserving, that's what we are. Well, look at Isaiah 65 and 9. And I will bring forth a seed out of Jacob, and out of Judah an inheritor of my mountains. And my chosen shall inherit it. My servants shall dwell there. Notice he didn't say they would inherit it, because these are servants, and the servant only abides until the year of liberty, right? My chosen shall inherit it. They will be joint heirs with Christ. They will be owners of all things. And my servants shall dwell there. My servant shall dwell there. But it doesn't say. I'm going to read on down just a little bit here. And Sharon shall be a fold of flocks, and the valley of Achor, or troubling, right? A place for herds to lie down in. For my people that have sought me. For my people who have sought me, not sought religion, which is not even a close facsimile. Verse 11. But ye that forsake the Lord, that forget my holy mountain, that prepare a table for fortune, that's for the fortune of the old man, right? Yeah. And that fill up mingled wine unto destiny, mingled wine, mixed wine. Not the pure body and blood of Jesus, right? I will destine you to the sword, and you shall all bow down to the slaughter. Because when I called, you did not answer. And when I spake, you did not hear. But you did that which was right, which was evil in mine eyes, and chose that wherein I delighted not. Oh, you know, it's very clear the Lord wants us to be a follower of his. as he spoke to those that believed him, that if they continued in his word, they would be his disciples. And obviously, you know, some people have been told a lie, you know, that you just accept Jesus as your personal Savior. But here's, Jesus is saying here clearly, he does not accept everybody that accepts him. And truly, we have to accept him every day, not just once to step over the line, then we can do what we want to do, whatever pleases us. When we wake up in the morning, who are we serving? What should we be thinking about? We better be thinking about following the Spirit of God from there on. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. There, the sons are the inheritors. The servants, it's only temporary. Any gift that they get is a temporary gift. You see that? Well, I hope so. So, let's look at Psalm 37, 7. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait for the Lord, they shall inherit the land. Amen. Wait for the Lord. Wait for the Lord. How is this? You're waiting to hear from the Lord. You want direction from the Lord. You're not going to take direction from your flesh. You're not going to take direction from fear, as we read a little while ago. You're not going to be moved by anything but the Spirit of the Lord. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Is the Spirit of God different from the New Testament? Well, no, he wrote it. But it's the nature in which you receive it that counts. He wrote the New Testament. You can't say, the Holy Spirit told me to do this when there's verses against it. A lot of people do that. When a demon comes in, that's the first thing they say, I'm following the Spirit. And they're not. They're following the flesh. And they're following some false doctrine that doesn't fit with the Scriptures, you see. And so, you know, that's why we have to keep putting that word in, that sun. Let the sunlight come into your soul and dispel the darkness. And what does it bring? Light. Who's the light? Jesus, the Word, right? It brings the light, right? And the path of the righteous is as the dawning light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. That's God's promise. He said that. I know people say this can't be done. Well, that's because they only have eyes for their flesh. They know they can't do it because they've tried and failed. And that's exactly what it's all about. People try and fail. That's part of the process. You have to learn that. You have to know that you're incapable of being a Christian. The only one that can be a Christian is Christ. And he lives in those who have faith in him, who believe his words, and believe these words of sanctification, of being born again, of sonship, of all these manifestations that all prove the same thing. Jesus wants to come in you. Who's going to heaven? No one hath ascended into heaven but he that descended out of heaven. Nobody's going to heaven but Jesus. Nobody. And he is the Word. And the Word goes into your heart and recreates him. Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's how it goes. That's how it happens, you see. Okay. Those that wait for the Lord, they shall inherit the land. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yep, well, truly, this is what happens. The destruction, the curse, takes people out when they're not under Christ. Because Christ bore the curse, he took away the curse. Most of Christianity does not believe that. They do not believe that Jesus bore the curse for them. They believe he bore their sins, but they don't believe he bore the curse that comes upon people who sin. Now that doesn't make sense. If he bore the curse, if he bore the sin, certainly he would bear the curse of sin and of death, right? But they don't believe that. They don't believe you can be healed because Jesus bore that sin that comes because of the curse. They don't believe it. And of course they don't believe it because they're just not reading the Bible. They're letting men tell them what they can believe and what they can't believe. They're idolaters. They have fallen away from the Lord. They are separated from Christ by the laws of men, right? Yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and he shall not be. But the meek shall inherit the land. Those that wait for the Lord shall inherit the land, in verse 9, and the meek shall inherit the land. You know what meekness is. Meekness is anything but what a self-righteous Christian is. Do you understand? They're very bold. They're not very meek. They're very bold about what they believe, about what you can believe, about whether they can judge you because of what you believe. Oh, they're ready to do anything. They're just so totally puffed up with self-righteousness. Okay. And that we have to repent of. There's one Lord and one judge, right? But the meek shall inherit the land. What land? Yes, that promised land that we're supposed to be taken away from the Canaanites, all the ites, you know, the Canaanites of the land. They've been ruling the land. Hebrews 6 tells us that this life that we live in, this natural life, it is the land. And he told the Israelites to go in there and put to death those Canaanites and take away their house and rule in that house and plant their own garden and bear their own fruit. Don't let the old man rule you. So we're going to inherit the land. The Canaanites are dying off as we walk by faith because Jesus bore our sins. And he delivered us out of the powers of darkness, which are the demons that rule over the people of the land. Right? So he's done both of those for us. And now we're just to take up our sword and go on in there and take them out. In other words, you don't have to give in to lust. You don't have to give in to theft. You don't have to give in to lying. You don't have to give in to walking after your flesh. You don't have to give in to gluttony. You don't have to give in to these things anymore because Jesus was the Lamb of God who took away the sins of the world. Read Romans chapter 6. He made you free from sin. That's a word of faith there. And you believe it and you confess it. He made me free from sin. I am delivered from sin. And I am delivered of the demons that rule over sin. I am free. He delivered me out of the power of darkness and delivered me into the kingdom of the Son of his love. In the kingdom of the Son. There you go. But the meek shall inherit the land and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. Ooh. The wicked plotteth against the just and gnasheth upon him with his teeth. Them that are born after the flesh always persecute them that are born after the spirit. We just read it. The sons of the handmaid, under their own rules and regulations, they're going to persecute the sons of the free woman. The sons, right? And gnash upon him with their teeth. The Lord will laugh at him when he seeth that his day is coming. The wicked have drawn out the sword and have bent their bow, and cast down the poor and the needy, to slay such as are upright in the way. Well, all throughout history, there have been those who have been upright in the way, and all that would live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution at the hands of the handmaids, the sons of the handmaid, the Ishmaelites, the Christians Ishmaelites. Not the Jews, Ishmaelites. Okay. Yep, they're born of Abraham, but, sorry, wrong woman. Yeah. They do not inherit with those who believe the promises. Most of the church is totally inoculated against believing the promises. So they can't be the son of the free woman, and they can't bear the fruit of that son. Okay. And these others, they're always there. You know, Jesus was the stone which the builders rejected. And the Bible says that he was that Spirit of Christ was in those prophets in 2 Peter chapter 1. What was that? They too were stones which the builders rejected. The Spirit of Christ lived in them. The Spirit of Christ lives in people today. The Spirit of Christ lived in Christ. And he was a stone that the builders rejected, and he's still a stone that the builders rejected. And he was in the Old Testament a stone which the builders rejected. The builders are representing God's people. They're supposed to be building the kingdom. Most of them are just building man's kingdom, but they don't know that. And so here comes Jesus in a prophet to tell them, you're not building my kingdom, you're building man's kingdom. And then they want to stone him. So which of the prophets didn't they kill, you know, for goodness sake? The stones which the builders rejected. Even today, it's the same way. Anybody that serves God and walks in righteousness and does the will of the Lord that he sent them to do, they will persecute. But he says he's going to slay them. He says their sword shall enter into their own heart, and their bows shall be broken. I'm going down, jump on down a little bit here, say verse 29. The righteous shall inherit the land and dwell therein forever. Not just to the day of liberty, forever. Verse 34. Wait for the Lord and keep his way, and he will exalt thee to inherit the land. Wait for the Lord. See, lots of people don't wait on the Lord. They just go and do, you know. But the Lord said, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. These are the ones that will inherit forever. Okay, they're the joint heirs with Christ. Wait for the Lord and keep his way, and he will exalt thee to inherit the land. Well, you know, what if Christians come and invite you to go to their big party and so on and so forth, and you say, well, I like parties. Yeah, I'll be there. But did the Holy Spirit want you to party, or did he want you to buffet your body and bring it into submission and find out what he wants you to do? He says, wait for the Lord. Find out what the Lord wants you to do. Don't say we're going to go here and do this or do that. But if the Lord wills. And I tell you, this is a time for prayer and fasting. Look around you. What's happening? What's happened in the church is happening in the world. Faction is everywhere. How can we avoid that next world war in Revelation chapter 6 after the man-child comes? How can we avoid that world war, for goodness sake? Look around you. There is hatred and people self-righteous about Pizzagate, for goodness sake. This is their right, you know. There's no conscience there whatsoever. They're Satanists, etc. Oh, and he will exalt thee to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, thou shalt see it. Only thou shalt behold with thine eyes and see the reward of the wicked. The Lord is going to have his people go 40 days into the great and terrible day or year of the Lord, and they will see the cutting off of the wicked, just like Noah in the ark. They will see the cutting off of the wicked. And I've seen the wicked in great power and spreading himself like a green tree in its native soil. But one passed by, and lo, he was not. Yea, I sought him, but he could not be found. Mark the perfect man. Behold the upright. For there is a happy end to the man of peace. As for transgressors, they shall be destroyed together. The end of the wicked shall be cut off. But the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is their stronghold in the time of trouble. And the Lord helpeth them and rescueth them. He rescueth them from the wicked and saveth them because they have taken refuge in him. So what do we see? Well, we see there's a parallel between sanctification, sonship, and born again, right? Amen. And all these speak about the same thing. They speak about coming into the image of Jesus Christ, which is what salvation is. When you look at Jesus, you're looking at what salvation is. How much of salvation do you want? 30-fold? Maybe 60-fold? 100-fold? Well, I hope that you're willing to count the cost and pay the price to have the 100-fold. It's there for us. You know, all you got to do is ask God. All you got to do is say, I don't want this life, Lord. I'm asking you to give me your best, which is Jesus Christ. And I'm looking in the mirror and I'm accepting this gift. From now on, I'm walking in your steps. I'm forgetting those things which are behind. I'm pressing forward to the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Lord, you've invited or called us to this high calling. We are bidden to come to the marriage feast. We are bidden to partake of the body and blood of Christ, like Jesus did at that marriage feast that he went to. We're bidden. We're invited. We have been invited. The world hadn't been invited. There many are called. Not all are called. Many are invited. Those who are saved in their spirit are invited to be saved in their soul by partaking of the body and blood of Christ. Those who have been saved in their spirit now have the power to follow the Holy Spirit. And most of all, important to do is invite the Holy Spirit to come in and lead you and guide you. If he's not used to hearing your request, you may have to start over. Lord, I want to know what you want me to do today. What do you have for me to do today? And be very interested in what he's going to tell you. Be led of the Spirit, and you'll be sons of God. We're accounted righteous by our faith because we see the end from the beginning. We claim our sonship. We claim in the mirror Jesus Christ. And we're accounted righteous because of our faith. And so we just thank you, Lord. We want to see this manifestation of Jesus. So let's go back to 1 John. I spoke a little bit on it in the first teaching. And I want to read verse 28. Now that you've got all this background, we can look at this and see this, right? And now, my little children, abide in him, that if he shall be manifested, phaneru, make visible, cause to shine. In other words, him shining forth from you, those glories, star glory, then moon glory, then sun glory, right? From glory to glory. Into whose image? Sun glory. The sun, his image, right? And if he shall be manifested, we may have boldness and not be ashamed before him at his coming. So that's a big if, you know, that's an if. Are you walking after Jesus? If you're walking by faith and you're putting one foot ahead of the other, and you're on the path of the righteous, which shineth more and more unto the perfect day, right? If you're on that path, you're all right. Because you can only put one foot ahead of the other one. You can't put the fifth, sixth, seventh, tenth foot down yet. You haven't gotten there. You're not held accountable for those leadings of the Holy Spirit. You're accountable for the leading that he's given you now. You can only take one step at a time. Right? And am I saying that you shouldn't forsake all sin? No, I'm not saying that at all. I'm talking about the leadership of the Holy Spirit, right? Learn to be a follower of the Holy Spirit. Yes, you all of your sins have been taken away, and you must walk by that every day. It's not like God has to take one sin out of your heart at a time. That's not what he's talking about, okay? And everybody that knows that knows it. So if he shall be manifested, we may have boldness and not be ashamed before him at his coming. And that is his parousia. That is his physical coming. And those people who have not done anything with the talent that he's given them, well, they're going to be ashamed before him at his coming. And if you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone also that doeth righteousness is born or begotten of him. And this is the whole point. We have to be born, as we saw in our first teaching on this, spirit and then soul and then ultimately body. And glory be to God. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called children of God. And such we are. He's talking about manifestation. For this cause the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. So, I mean, you know, as long as you are walking as a child, they don't see Jesus in you. They don't know you. They didn't know him. Beloved, now are we the children of God. It's not yet made manifest. In other words, this shining forth, right? What we shall be. We know that if he shall be manifested, we shall be like him. Oh, glory to God. We'll be like him. What is that? The Son of God. Right? So if you're abiding in the Son of God, who are you? Who abided in the Son of God in Jesus' day? He did. Who abides in the Son of God today? He does. Who is he? He's a son. He's not a child. He's not a servant. He's a son. Now, are you abiding in him by faith? That means when you obey in your trial the word of God rather than your flesh, which always wants to get you out of the trial, right? Because the devil knows that if you obey in the midst of the trials, you're going to be a mighty force of destruction against his kingdom. And he doesn't want you to ever get there. So he's going to resist. But it's through trials that you enter the kingdom. Through much tribulation shall you enter the kingdom of God, right? It is through these trials that you're going to enter the kingdom and become a force that he can't deal with. He can't deal with the Son of God. He could have never even killed him except he laid down his life. And it's the same situation now. It's not yet made manifest what we shall be, but we know that if he shall be manifested, and it's talking about in us, if he shall be manifested in us, we shall be like him. We shall be like him. Underline that. We shall be like him. If we shall be like him. It's not at all certain. But in both of these cases, in 3 and 28, and in, excuse me, in 2 and 28 and 3 and 2, there's an if there. Because, yes, you are a child of God, but will you be accounted as a son when he comes? 30, 60, and 100-fold. We know that if he shall be manifested, we shall be like him. So if we're going to be like him and we look in the mirror and we see the real Jesus of the Bible, guess what all the churches are trying to do? Make you like them. And have you noticed Christians get into all that and they start acting just like the preacher. They start dressing like the preacher. They want to impress people that they have something. And they're very sectarian. They're very divisive. They're very factious when they get the spirit of religion in them, right? And they judge everybody. And that's the most dangerous thing you can do, because that's unforgiveness. We know that if he shall be manifested, we shall be like him, for we shall see him even as he is. Now, it takes some study to see him as he is. You don't automatically see Jesus as he is. You're not familiar with Jesus unless you read the Bible, unless you put the light through your spirit man into your soul and dispel the darkness. You're not going to know who Jesus is. But we know that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. But they tell us that he's changed. He don't do this anymore. He don't do that anymore. He don't believe this anymore. And all we have to do is pay our tithes and sit on their pew and listen to them moralize us. But moralizing is not receiving regeneration. And that comes through faith. It comes by the power of God. Regeneration is that new birth, right? It comes by the power of God. The power of God always comes when we have faith. All things whatsoever you pray and ask for, believe you received them, and you shall have them. Oh, glory be to God. For we shall see him even as he is. So you keep seeing Jesus in the mirror, but what forms your vision of the mirror? Well, your revelation of the word. How are you going to come into the image of someone that you don't know? So we become familiar with the Holy Spirit, who spoke and acted through Jesus, the Holy Spirit of God that spoke and acted. We become familiar with that Jesus. And Jesus said that the Holy Spirit would take of mine and declare it unto you. He will reveal to you who Jesus is. Is he the Jesus of 2,000 and something years ago, or is he the Jesus of the religions today? Well, I'll let you make up your mind there. It's very, very important that you go and find out, and don't put your trust in any man. There are thousands of denominations out there. They all claim to be right. But if you don't sit down and read your Bible, you will not know you're sitting in an apostate institution there that's never going to lead you to Jesus Christ. Why do I say that? Because all religions in Jesus' day were apostate, all of them. They were the works of man. And he came to call his sheep by name and lead them out of that sheepfold. And, of course, the Pharisees and Sadducees were very angry about that. And he was leading off all of what they thought were their sheep. But they weren't their sheep. They belonged to him. And he gave parables about that, how he lent out the vineyard to husbandmen, and they didn't bring forth the fruit. And when the son came to collect the fruit, they killed him. And they're still doing it today. And they did it all through the Old Testament. He was the stone that the builders rejected. How is it that the people that are called the builders are always rejecting the Son of God? No matter who he speaks out of, he said, even if it's the least of these, my brethren, whatsoever you've done to the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. You've done it unto me. And if he shall be manifested, we shall be like him, for we shall see him even as he is. And everyone that has this hope set on him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Purifieth himself. You say, I thought only the Lord could purify us. Well, the Lord is the one that empowers you to purify yourself. Right? As many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Even as he is pure. So, just reminding you here, even as he is pure. They say, that's not possible. You're always going to be a sinner saved by grace. That's not the gospel. That's the Antichrist gospel. It's exactly what the devil wants you to believe. be it unto you according to your faith. You will come into the image of the Son of God if you believe the end from the beginning. And the end is Christ in you, the hope of glory. The end is purification of yourself. You have the power to cast down every sin and every power of Satan over your life. You have the power. He delivered you out of the power of darkness. He made you free from sin. You have the power to walk away from your flesh, to cast it down like the Canaanites were cast down. Everyone that hath this hope set on himself, on him, purifieth himself, even as he is pure. And everyone that doeth sin doeth also lawlessness. And sin is lawlessness. And you know that he was manifested to take away sins. So Jesus shone forth in that body of the Son of David. It really was a body of the Son of David through Mary, the seed of the woman. Will bruise the serpent's head, right? The seed of the woman. So it really was David's line through Mary that gave him that body. And he came in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. Came in that likeness. And even in our day, we have Christ in you, the hope of glory. That seed was sown in you when God gave you a new spirit. It began. He gave you the Spirit of Christ, which is not the Holy Spirit, it's the Spirit of Christ. Jesus had his own spirit that was empowered by the Holy Spirit. He had to be made in all things like unto his brethren. He had to be made in all things. He was made the way we are, and yet without sin. Okay? So what did he prove when he came to be a sinless lamb? Well, he proved he was available to be the sacrifice, and he was the sacrifice, and he also proved that he could come and walk in that flesh and still overcome it. And he proved it to us, and he showed us. And you know that he was manifested to take away sins, and in him is no sin. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. See, when you sin, you step out of the body of Christ. And if you live enough of your time outside the body of Christ, you will never grow. You'll never bear fruit. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither knoweth him. A person who walks in willful sin, they have turned their will over to the devil. In Romans chapter 7, the thing that Paul said was, he said, the good that I would do, I do not, and the evil which I would not, that I do, who shall deliver me? And then he decided, I thank God through Jesus Christ. And he said, since the good that I would do, I do not, it's no longer I that do it, but the sin which dwelleth in me. So he knew that there was a sin manifested in him still. But he believed in the sacrifice, and he believed that Jesus took, he said, I thank God through Jesus Christ. He was believing that the sacrifice had taken away his sins, not just covered them up. That's a false doctrine. That's an Old Testament doctrine, by the way. You never come into the New Testament yet if you still just believe that. It's taken away your sin, the very nature of sin. He took it away. He nailed it to the cross. He gave you his life. That's why he passed on his blood. The life of the flesh is in the blood. We no longer have to deal with the blood of our parents. God dealt with it on the cross. Now he wants us to believe. Just believe. If we believe, we'll be able to do. He will empower us. He said, my little children, let no man lead you astray. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous, even as he is righteous. And he that doeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. To this end was the Son of God manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Well, amen. Where are the works of the devil? Well, they're in mankind. You know, the dragon of Revelation 12 is just a parable about the devil in mankind. The seven heads are the seven ruling kingdoms, world ruling kingdoms that conquered God's people from the beginning. Egypt and Assyria and Babylon, Media, Persia, Greece, Rome, revived Rome. Those are those seven heads, and that's the whole world. And the ten horns are the ten continental divisions ruled over by the ten kings. And by the way, they're crowned in the middle of the tribulation period, not now, as some people think. They're crowned then. So, yes, they are there, but they are not crowned. The crown is on the heads, the different entities that were Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, Media, Persia, Greece, Rome, and revived Rome. Those entities are still with us today. All of their seed are still with us today in the UN, right? We should get out of the UN, by the way. It would be smart. That he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God doeth no sin, because his seed abideth in him. He doeth no sin. Now you know what born of God is. You're born of the Word. You're sanctified, meaning separated from sin unto God. Born of God. You are a son of God by faith in Jesus Christ. Because when you look in the mirror, you see the Son of God, right? Your childhood is just something you're passing through to get to there. And if you're walking by faith, you will pass through and get to there. And because, you know, you're accounted righteous by your faith. You're accounted a son of God by your faith that he took away your sins. Now, if you don't believe he took away your sins and you're always going to be a sinner saved by grace, you do not believe the gospel. You can't look at yourself in the mirror and see Jesus. There's no way. Because his seed abideth in him, he cannot sin. What is it? What does the devil come to steal? The seed which is sown in your heart. Why? Because that seed is the Word, and it brings you into the image of the Son of God, and he can't do anything with him. He's afraid of him. Because he is born of God. When you're born of God, the seed abides in you. The Word abides in you when you're born of God. That's what it's saying there. It hasn't been plucked out, which the devil seeks to do. People start believing something, and if it doesn't happen the way they think, or there's no patience in their faith, it gets stolen. They say it didn't work. Oh yeah, when did you say you no longer believed? At what point down the trial of your faith did you say, I no longer believe? Well, of course, when you say it didn't work. Right? We had some very foolish, factious people said, these are false prophecies. They haven't come to pass. When did you have the right to say when they would come to pass? And verse 10 says, in this the children of God are manifested, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. Amen. So, we're called to be sons of God. Oh, what awesomeness, you know. I mean, and into his image, into his righteousness, into his purity. He purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Oh, glory be to God. To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Those steps are of knowledge. You know what's right, you're taking a step. You know what's right, you're taking a step. There are things that we don't know, and they're not held against us. Ignorance is an excuse of the law of God in the New Testament. Well, Father, we pray that your people will get this awesome revelation of your salvation and how big it is and how great it is and how all-inclusive it is. And this awesome revelation of the manifestation of the sons of God who are going to set the groaning creation free. This awesome revelation of sanctification, spirit, soul, and body. This awesome revelation. You've told us so many different ways that we should be able, by one of these paths, to come to the truth of the gospel. Lord, send forth your mercy and your grace to your people who are in bondage. They must see through their idolatries with men and religions. And Lord, we know you're coming to do that. We know you're coming to manifest in the man-child ministry, in the two-witness ministry, in the bride ministry. And we know that you're coming to show the whole world who you are, so they can see you in the mirror, so they can accept the gospel. Thank you, Father. Amen. Well, okay, saints, God bless you. Thank you so much for being with us today. And please, you probably can't absorb all this in just one sitting. You may have to listen to this a couple or three times, as some people have told me about the others. They listened and listened and listened. You know, get it down in your soul. Get the light in your soul. The light will just take out the darkness. Amen? All right. Well, God bless you and good night.